Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Davis, minister of the Mount Zion at the 12th hour. This is September the 13th, 2025, or is the 22nd day of Elul 2029. We will go into one time of greetings number 43. The title of our sermon is The Year of His Redeeming, The Sign of the Day of the Vengeance. One time of greetings, number 43, and this is May the 31st, 1947, Beit Yehoshua. And he's given Isaiah 63 here. We are to study the 63rd chapter of the Isaiah. In this chapter we find recorded a prophetic conversation among the three persons, the prophet, the Yeshua, the son of Yahweh, and a person living at the time that the prophecy of this chapter is fulfilled. For the subject of the conversation are Edom. And you know, Esau, the first son of Isaac, he was the king of Edom, next door to Judah. Ancient Israel, their deliverance from Egypt and the people's redemption in the day that this scripture is fulfilled, for the part that should concern us most is to know the time. For the gain of this information, I shall read verse 16. Doubtless thou art our father. Though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not, thou, O Yahshua, art our father. Our Redeemer, thy name is from everlasting. Isaiah 63:16. Let's read that again. Thou, O Yahweh, our Father, and thy Son, Yahshua, our Redeemer, for thy name is from everlasting. Isaiah 63:16. For the words of the people, speaking in the behalf of the people, who are brought face to face with the revelation of this chapter, reveal that he and his people are unknown unto Abraham. Since the Abraham well knew of the rise of the ancient Israel, but understood practically nothing of the rise of the apostolic of the New Testament, then the apostolics must be the people of the whom he is ignorant. For the truth then stands out clearly that the chapter finds its fulfillment in the apostolic era. Now to find whether it is concerning the early or the latter day of apostles, we shall read the verses 18 and 19. Also Isaiah 64:10-11. For the subject matter of the chapter 64 is but a continuation of chapter 63. For the people of the holiness have possessed it but a little while. Our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. We are thine. Thou never bearest rule over them. They were not called by thy name, Isaiah 63:18-19. for the holy city, for that holy city is our wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem is a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house, for our Father's praise of thee, is burned up as fire, and all our present sins are laid waste. Isaiah 64:10-11. Here is seen that the longing of the people is for the restoration of the temple and for their repossession of the promised land. Now the fact that the temple and the land are still in the hands of the Arabs and the unbelieving Jews, those who were never called by his name, never called apostolic, is proof positive that chapters 63 and 64 are fulfilled in the latter part of the antipical apostolic era in these last days here in the 12th parabolic hour, with the part in which the time of the Gentiles and the promised land is fulfilled. Moreover, that these chapters are now unveiled to us, and also the fact that the message for today has caused us to cry unto the Yahshua for just such a deliverance. For the facts are that the time for the fulfillment of the prophecy that is in these chapters is already here. Since you now positively know that these chapters are concerning you and me, we are ready to start the study of the chapters verse by verse. Who is this that cometh from Edom with the dyed garment from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in the righteousness, mighty to save. In the vision, the prophet saw some come with a blood-stained garment, hastily returning from Edom and Bozrah. To the prophet's question, who is this that cometh from Edom with the dyed garments from Bozrah, came the answer, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Who else could this person be but the Messiah, Yahshua himself, the Savior of the world, the mighty one to save? Again the prophet asked, Isaiah 63:2, wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? Since these questions introduces a series of the solemn events, the events recorded in the Isaiah 63:3-5, I have tried in the wine press alone. And of the people, there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of the vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I left, and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore my own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. For the statement, I have tried in the winepress alone, I left and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. All in the past tense showed a Savior's zeal and determination to save has misled people at his first advent. Though there was no one with him to help, that is, all the priests and religious leaders, the general conference of his day, the Sanhedrin, were against him instead of helping him in his work. But the statement, "For I will tread them in my anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garment, and I will abstain all of my raiment." For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeeming is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore my own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury did upheld me. All in the future tense show the present church's condition not only equally as bad that his first coming, but even much worse. How true that history repeats. As the day of the vengeance approaches, those who are supposed to uphold and help in the work of the redemption, the ministers and religious leaders, the antithetical Sanhedrin of today, the general conference, are seen to be handy, standing in his way of reaching the heathen. Thus they incur his displeasure, unnecessarily. He carries himself to free his people from the hands of the unfaithful shepherds. They cause him to stain his garments with the blood as he trampled them in his fury. Isaiah 63:6. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. For Yahshua's brief explanation of the situation is amplified by the prophet Ezekiel. Says he cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, "Cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand." And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lies toward the north, and every man his scarlet weapon in his hand, and one man among them was clothed with a linen, with a rod of zinc horn by his side, and they went in and stood beside the brazen altar, and the glory of the Yeshua of the Israel was gone up from the cherub. Whereupon he was to the threshold of the house, and he called unto the man clothed with the linen. Let's do it again. And the glory of the Yahweh, the Father of Israel, was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was to the threshold of the house, and he called upon the man clothed with the linen, which is Yahshua his son, which had the rod of inkhorn by his side. And the Father said unto him, "Go through the midst of the city, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the house of Israel, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the forehead of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof." And unto to the others he said in mine hearing, "Go ye after him through the city and smite, that not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity, slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom it is a mark, and begin at my sanctuary." and they began at the ancient men which were before the house, Ezekiel 9:1-6. What Ezekiel's prophecy plainly revealed that this cleansing work takes place in the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Jerusalem, in the time to separate the unfaithful from among the faithful, the time to destroy the tares, Matthew 13:30, to cast out the bad fish, Matthew 13:47-49, to purify the church, testimony by and by, page 80, to purify the ministry, Malachi 3:1-3, to cleanse the sanctuary, Daniel 8:14, the judgment work for the living, the spirit of prophecy, and our day has this to say, but the days of the purification of the church are hastening on apace, for the Yahweh will have a people pure and true, and the mighty sifting soon to take place, we shall be better able to measure the strength of the Israel. For the sign revealed that the time is near when the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, will manifest that his fan is in his hand, and he will surely purge his floor. Here we see that the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the Yahweh sanctuary, was the first to feel the stroke of the wrath of the Yahweh. For the ancient men, those unto whom Yahweh had given great light, and who had stood as the guardians of the spiritual interests of the people, had betrayed their trust. They had taken the position that we need not look for a miracle and the manifestation of the Yahweh's power as in the former days. Times have changed. These words have strengthened their unbelief, and they say, Yahweh will not do good, neither will he do evil. He is too merciful to visit his people in judgment. Thus peace and safety is the cry of men who will never again lift up their voice like a trumpet to show Yahweh's people their transgressions in the house of Jacob their sin. These dumb dogs that would not bark are the ones who feel the just vengeance of an offended Yahweh. Men, maidens, and little children all perish together, Testimony 5:80. And the Apostle Paul adds, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of Yahweh. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh? And if the righteous surely be saved, where shall the unrighteous and the sinner appear? 1 Peter 4:17-18. Since the Yahweh's people of today are not in the land of Edom, south of Palestine, but are scattered throughout the earth, and since the Yahshua is the slave of their enemies in order to free them, the truth is obvious. These are the antithetical for Edom and Boza. After the Esau bowl sold his birthright for a mist of pottage, he was called Edom. And the name Boza means sheep bowl. Only then the Edomites of Isaiah 63:1. For those who in our day have sold their birthright, and who at the same time are persecuted, as did Esau persecute Jacob, those who have brought it, so to speak, as it is that, as Yahweh's people had to be delivered from the Sanhedrin in the Yahshua's day, They must now be delivered in front of the General Conference, the Antichrist Edomite brethren. Now this is wrong. The General Conference is not the Antichrist Edomite brethren. Brother Stephen Johnson at Turner, Texas was Antichrist Esau, and his kingdom was Edom. And it was his members of the Gilead Synod that stood on his side against me in 2002 and my wife. These were the Edomite brethren that were standing in the way. That was our own people that we worshiped with. And order to be led into all the truth and into the Father's land. For the word, the year of my redeemer has come, and the day of vengeance is in mine heart. Surely it says that he hath said strange words, and Edom and Bozrah in the day of the vengeance, and the sign of the antithetical Israel, the church purified, returning to their homeland. Isaiah 63:7-10. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Yahshua and the praises of the Yahshua according to all that the Yahshua has bestowed on earth, and the great goodness for the house of Israel, which he has bestowed on them according unto his mercy and according unto the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their savior. In other words, you know, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. And his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. And he feared them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and cursed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he returned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. For the testimony of this person reveals that a complete transformation has taken place in him, that he has caught a vision of the Yahshua's goodness, of his long suffering, and of his tender mercy. He is convinced that the Yahshua will not acquit the guilty from his testimony. It also seems that the Yahshua is not a cruel, brutal person seeking to kill and to destroy, but that he is kind and merciful, patient and just, that he is worthy to be praised. For this person endeavors to prove this to others by calling attention unto the Yahshua's dealing with his ancient people, showing that he bore along with them. Only for their own good did he punish them, to bring them back unto him and away from idolatry and eternal ruin. Moreover, the scriptures plainly show that the need of the deliverance today is similar to that of the Moses' day. Isaiah 63:11-15. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him, that led them by the right hand of Moses, with his glorious arm dividing the water before them, to make himself an everlasting name, that led them through the deep as an horse in the wilderness, that they should not stumble, as a beast goeth down into the valley, the spirit of the Yahweh caused him to rest, so didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. Look down from heaven, and behold, from the habitation of thy holiness, of thy glory, where is thy zeal and thy strength, the signing of thy vows, and of thy mercies toward me, are they restrained? Since there is in prophecy a cry for a sinner deliverance, as was seen in the Moses time, the facts are obvious. But the church has been led into bondage and now needs to be delivered. Years ago, inspiration forewarned. The church has turned back from following our share of her leader and is steadily retreating toward Egypt. Yet few are alarmed or astonished at their want of its spiritual power. Doubt and even disbelief of the testimony that the Spirit of Yahweh is living in all churches everywhere. For Satan, it would have it said, for the ministers who preach self instead of the Yahshua would have it thus. For the testimonies are unread and unappreciated. For the Yahshua has spoken out of you. Light has been shining from his word and from the testimony, and those have been cited and disregarded. The result is apparent in the lack of purity and devotion and earnest faith among us. Testimony, Volume 5, page 217. Isaiah 63:16-17 is our next verse. Tell us thou art our father, so Abraham be ignorant of it, and Israel acknowledge it as now. Thou, O Yahweh the Father, our Father, let's hear it again. Thou, O Yahweh, art our Father, and thy Son Yahshua, our Redeemer, for thy name is from everlasting, O Yahweh, Father. Why hast thou made us to err from thy ways, and hardened our hearts from thy fear? Let's hear it again. Thy name is from everlasting, O Yahshua, Son of Yahweh. Why hast thou made us to err from thy ways, and hardened our hearts from thy fear? Return for thy servant's sake the tribes of thine inheritance. For the people that are crying for the deliverance are those whom the Abraham did not know, and whom the Israel of today, the sons of the heaven and the earth, does not acknowledge. That is, as pointed out at the beginning of our study, for the Abraham was ignorant of the apostolic apostles at the cross, and the people that cry out for the deliverance at the fulfillment of this prophecy are not by the antithetical Israel, the denomination, acknowledged as such. Thus it is that though Abraham of old does not know us, and though the denomination does not acknowledge us, yet we know that Yahweh has given us a message, and that a change has taken place in us. I think I was talking about the shepherd's rod, 1930, that we are no longer satisfied, lukewarm, and that we are no longer unconscious of our lead of sin, wretchedness, misery, poverty, blindness, and nakedness. We know that this is the work of the Yahweh in our hearts, that we are truly being born again, born through the Holy Spirit, that we are now better Seventh-day Adventists than we were before, for we can therefore with confidence say, doubtless thou art our Father, our Redeemer, thy, if we again, we can that thou art our Father Yahweh, and thy Son Yahshua, our Redeemer. Thy name is everlasting. So we are constantly and sarcastically told by our brethren, no, you are not Seventh-day Adventist. Isaiah 63:18-19. They said, for the people of thy holiness have possessed it for a little while. Our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. We are thine. They never bear rule over us, over them. We are thine. Thou never bearest rule over them. They were not called by thy name. True, our ancestors were in the land and enjoyed the sanctuary service for a number of years. Yet considering that they were to possess it forever, then the statement, the people of thy holiness have possessed it for a little while, is altogether true. Arabs and the unconverted Jews who now possess the land are not apostolic believers. They are not called by the Yahshua's name and never have been. Isaiah 63:17. O Yahshua, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways and hardened our hearts from thy fear? Return for thy servants' sake, the tribes of thine inheritance. Here is one who recognizes that the people of the Yahweh are in error, not following Yahweh's ways, and that they do not fear him. For the message is clear, therefore, for the Yahweh's sake, for the Yahweh to return unto them, not to forsake them forever. Let's do that again. For the message is clear, therefore, for the Yahshua, son of the Yahweh, to return unto them, not to forsake them forever. For the prayer of the chapter 63 continued throughout chapter 64 and gives a good example as to what our prayer should be about at this very time. Let us read it through. Isaiah 64:1-12. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence, as when the melting fire burneth the fire, for the fire causes the waters to boil, to make thy name known unto thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. And thou didst terrible things, which we look not for. Thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, and neither hath the eye seen, O Yahweh, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee and thy ways be whole. Thou art wroth, for we have sinned, and those is a continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as a filthy rag, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take a hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us, and has consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Yahweh, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou our Father, and we are the work of thy hand. Be not wroth, very sore, O Yahweh, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we are all thy people. Thy holy city are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem, desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praised thee, is burned up with the fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Wilt thou refrain thyself for these things, O Yahweh? Wilt thou hold thy peace and afflict us very sore? Now is our opportunity, now is our privilege for the making of this prayer personally our own. Now we can intelligently say that thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Now we can wholeheartedly exclaim, how shall we sing the Yahshua's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Yerushalayim, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Yerushalayim above my chief joy, remember, O Yahshua, the children of Edom, as Esau's, in the day of the Yerushalayim, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. Psalms 137:47. Now that you plainly see the signs of the time of our redemption and of the day of the Yahshua's vengeance against the unrepentant sinners for approaching, you are urged to make ready to sigh and cry against the abomination for the receiving of the mark of the deliverance, to be among the first fruits. Now you can happily and understandably seek the kingdom of the heaven and his righteousness, and assuredly know that the material things of life should not predominate over the spiritual, that they shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:25-34. Heaven therefore expects you without delay to definitely and openly take your stand on the side of the truth, now that the year of his redeemed is come, that the signs of the day of the vengeance are here. Now is the opportune moment to make your decision, for you cannot afford to procrastinate, says the Spirit of all truth. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, in the day of the temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear, in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of the unbelief, and the departing from the living Yahweh, or from the living Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, not yesterday, not the day of the miller or of the wine. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, for we are made partakers of the Yahshua, if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence, and steadfast to the end, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, however, not all that came out of Egypt by the Moses. But with whom was he grieved 4 years? Was it not with them that has sinned against sin, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and on whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest? But unto them that believed not, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Hebrews 3:7-19. This brings in verse 7. This is our contact. This is the 11th hour calling, number 11. Part 2. Number 1, Tommy Greedy. Number 44, Greedy Hollis. And he has a text for prayer for that sermon. Our thought for prayer is found in the Mount of Blessing 209. Okay, it says, not all who profess his name and wear his badge are the Yahshua. Many who have taught in my name, said the Yahshua, will be found wanting at last. Many will say unto me in that day, Master, Master, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There are persons who believe that they are right when they are wrong. While claiming the Yahshua as a master and professedly doing great works in his name, they are workers of the iniquity. With their mouth they show much love, but their heart goes after their covetousness. He who declares Yahweh's word, that's the Father Yahweh, is unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. For the people were described like, for the people here described like to hear the Yahshua's words, but that is as far as they go. I hope there are none here only to listen, but to do something about it. Only the doers of the word are justified. Let us kneel and earnestly pray that the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, will help us not to be mere professors of the church, but actual doers of the truth. End of prayer, though. The name of our sermon now is the things that obtain before and after the earth is made new. That's found in Isaiah 65, read the heart of June 7, 1947. We are to study the 65th chapter of Isaiah. As we study, we shall see that it bears record of the things that take place in the period before the earth is made new. and in the spirit after it is made new, we shall begin our study with the first verse. Isaiah 65:1. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. Paul, writing in the Romans, applies this verse unto the Gentiles coming into the gospel. Romans 10:20. For they therefore, those sought the Yeshua without asking for him. And those who found him without seeking after him, this condition laden with the results points out that the Yeshua is easily found. I've spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people that walked in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. Here is a great contrast between the well and foreign and the saints of the Yahweh and the ignorant Gentiles. While the former are pulled away, although the Yahweh they are cheerfully pleading with them, the latter are drawing nigh unto him. Here we see how patient Yahweh is, for he continues to plead on and on. It is hard for him to give up a sinner before all possible means to save are exhausted. Here is clearly seen that it is easier to save a heathen than it is to save a well-satisfied, deluded Christian. Isaiah 65:3. For people that provoketh me to anger continually to my faith, as sacrifices in gardens and burnt incense upon the altars of brick, the sacrifice in the garden is to make a display of the religion and altars of brick for the product of the man, not of the Yahweh's creation, as is stone, or the works of man. Cain offered an undesirable sacrifice, but the people brought the view in this scripture, offer on an undesirable altar. The one is as bad as the other. And what should the altars of brick be, if not the places of the worship, which the Yeshua himself has not commanded to be built? That we remain among the graves and lodges in the monuments, which eat a swine's flesh and broth of the abominable things is in their vessels. To remain among the graves is to be denied of having a part in the resurrection of the saints. And the lodge in the mountains is to live in a so-called exalted fifth of the life, dead to the Yeshua and alive unto the world. For the Jews were quite careful of what they ate. But here is a first, there is a forecast of a people whose appetites are as loose as were the elements of Eve while partaking of the forbidden fruit. Although we as a people profess to be strict in the keeping of the unclean meat away from our tables, this scripture nevertheless unveils the shameful truth that makes known that many are indulging in these abominable things. In one part of the world, perhaps they indulge in one abomination, and in another part of the world, they indulge in another abomination. Isaiah 65:5, which says, "Stand by thyself, come not near unto me, for I am holier than thou." These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burns all the day. On the one hand, they are as close as they can be, eating anything and everything, clean and unclean alike. And on the other hand, they have a high opinion of themselves, for they think themselves holier than any other, many than those who indulge in the abomination, which verse 4 tells about are the very ones who protest against having communion with those who try to live a life consistent with their profession, saying that a reformation might take place, satanic indeed, Yeshua hates hypocrites. More than he hates any other kind of sinner. For those who are thus pushed to the right and to the left and see the perfect fulfillment of this scripture as it at this very time, Isaiah 65:6-7. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep thy silence, but will recompense unto their bosom for your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, says to the Yahshua, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills. Therefore will I measure their former work and to their bosom. Verse 6 needs no comment. And but a sentence on verse 7 will suffice. For the Pharisees of yesterday and the Pharisees of today, so to speak, we see, are to receive similar rewards. Isaiah 65:8-9. Thus says to Yahshua, as a new wine is dying in the custard, and one says, deny it not, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob, and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountain. And my elect shall inherit it, and my servant shall dwell there. For the seed of the Jacob as the inheritor out of the Judah, is the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh. For the elect, his servant, the 144,000, I added that, are those who escape the destruction who are mentioned, for they are to be a blessing unto others. Symbolically speaking, the mountains are the kingdoms of the Judah and Israel, gathered together, as also foretold in Ezekiel 37:16-28. But if taken literally, the mountains are those in the promised land. For the phrase, "mine elect shall inherit it," changes the object from the plural mountains to the singular it, and makes the symbolism carry both thoughts, the kingdom and the location of it, for the verse that follows verifies this very thought. Isaiah 65:10, and Sharon shall be a field of flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for the herds to be to lie down in, for my people that have sought me. Verses 9 and 10 carry us from the Jewish spirit and to the antitypical apostolic era, then down and to the restoration and consolidation of the kingdoms of the Judah and Israel in the land of our fathers, Sharon and Achor. Isaiah 65:11. But ye are they that forsake the Yahshua, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that truth, and that furnish a drink offering unto that number. Those who are to be destroyed are those who do not particularly care for his holy mountain. For the kingdom mentioned in these scriptures, let's read that again. Those who are to be destroyed are those who do not particularly care for his holy mountain, as the kingdom of the Yahshua of the David mentioned in these scriptures. But they are those who prepare a table, or who assemble passages of the scriptures taken out of their city, and with them they feed, or same thing as teach the group, or the troop that is of the same mind as themselves, for the furnishing of the drink offering is as much as for the saying that the troop is drinking in whatever their teachers put out. Isaiah 65:12. Therefore will I number you unto the sword, and you shall all bow down to the sword. Because when I called, you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear. But did he before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not? Under this call of the Yahweh, they do not answer, neither do they hear him speaking, for they are inclined to do evil, for they delight in their own ways and hate the Yahshua's way, son of Yahweh. Of this sin, they are for possibly not conscious. Isaiah 65:13-15. Therefore thus said to Yahshua, son of Yahweh, behold, my servant shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servant shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but you shall be ashamed. Behold, my servant shall sing for the joy of heart, but you shall cry for the sorrow of heart, and shall howl for the vexation of the spirit. And ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my children, for the Yahshua that stayed in and tell his servant by another name. For these evildoers may not now give even a thought unto the solemn warning, but as sure as the day is followed by the night, just as sure the want, shame, sorrow, and calamity are soon to come. But a denominational name will they leave unto the Yahshua's name of servant. Let's read that again. For the denominational name, the Seventh-day Adventist, will they leave unto the Yahshua, son of Yahweh's servant. That is, unto those who escape from the Yahshua's sword shall the name consequently be left. For the name, however, is left only as a curse, and the service will be called by another name, which the mouth of the Yahshua shall name. Isaiah 65:16. That he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the Yahshua of the truth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the name of the Yahshua of the truth. Because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes. In this verse, it is implied that the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, is taking this strange action because of his unfaithful servants having not been a blessing on themselves and the Yahshua of the truth. Consequently, they must have been a blessing unto themselves and the God of the falsehood. That is, they have been teaching, approving, and spreading falsehood, while the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, is endeavoring to bless all of his servants with the truth fresh from his throne unto those who embrace his truth for this time. He will never bring up their past. Isaiah 65:17. For behold, I will create a new heaven. Let's just read that again. For behold, I create the new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be mentioned nor come into mind. Here we are brought down into the time that Yahshua, son of Yahweh, finally renews the heavens and the earth. Isaiah 65:18-19. That be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I will create Yerushalayim as a rejoicing and as her people, and for a joy. And I will rejoice in the Yerushalayim, and will joy in my people. And the voice of the weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of the crying. We are encouraged to rejoice because Yerushalayim, as well as her people, are created for a joy. Isaiah 65:20. There shall be no more since an infant of the day, nor an old man that hath not filled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. Concerning the wicked in the earth, they knew who comes up in the second resurrection, the resurrection of the unjust, Revelation 20:5. There shall be neither birth nor death among them for 100 years. Thus the only children that shall be among them will be those who are raised from the dead. Consequently, both those who are old and those who are young will have lived 100 years from the resurrection of the unjust unto the second death. Thus the child and the sinner becoming 100 years old in the earth made new shall both succumb in the end of the century. Then the righteous shall inhabit the whole earth. Isaiah 65:21-22. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. For they shall not build and another inhabit, for they shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of the tree are the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Again, we see that the hereafter is to be as real and as natural as was the Garden of Eden in the day it was created. So the message of the antithetical Elijah today shall indeed restore all things, all that was lost through the sin. Isaiah 65:26. For they shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth with trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, and their offspring with them. Much of our labor on this earth is done in the vain, and many of our sons and daughters are also born in vain. But in the earth they knew, no one shall labor in vain, and nothing shall be brought forth with trouble. Isaiah 65:24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. For the answers to some of our prayers, we often wait long, and most of them are not answered as we want them to be. But in the earth they knew there shall be no delay and no disappointment. Isaiah 65:25. For the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lamb shall eat straw like the bullock, and there shall be the serpent's teeth. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all of my holy mountain, says Yahshua, Son of Yahweh. For there shall be peace all around. We shall not see men quarreling, nor beasts fighting and eating one another. There shall be real and perfect peace among them all. If we can only realize that the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, has prepared for them that love to study His Word and to walk in His ever-increasing light, then we should make the Yahshua's business our chief interest. Then we would no longer waste our energy striving for the material things of the life, for they will be added unto us while we diligently labor for the upbuilding of His everlasting kingdom. Daniel 2:44-45. That is set up in the days He has changed here on earth, for He Himself says the workman is worthy of his power. This strange interest says this hour contact at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.